Welcome to Key to Happiness, Show 5, with me, Rob Saunders, and our guest today is Jamie Caporoso, all the way from Michigan in the USA. Jamie is famous for his book, The EZ, Keto 123, a quick and easy read to optimal health and weight loss with a ketogenic diet. Also runs the websites ketodaddy.com and keto-paleo.com and the Keto Check app. And don't forget, this is a podcast strictly for educational only. Works for me, may not work for you, but if you're engaging anything new in terms of diet, healthy lifestyle, things like that, be sure to have a word with your doctor, GP. I've been keto since March 2018 and I've had fantastic results. And on the forthcoming shows, we will discuss other things, both keto, happiness and wellness and beyond. 2 seconds and we'll be on the line to Jamie. And in the studio, well, over Skype anyway, we've got Jamie Caporoso. Is that how you pronounce it, Jamie?
Yep, it's Caporoso.
Caporoso, brilliant. And you're over in Michigan, USA?
Yep, over in Michigan, not far from Detroit.
Oh, fabulous. We've got friends over just below you in Fort Wayne in Indiana.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, some people from North Wales over there, so I'll say hello to those. Now, I've just mentioned in your introduction, you have written a book, which is Easy Keto 123, a quick and easy read to optimal health and weight loss on a ketogenic diet. You've got a couple of websites, but just about you, Jamie, how did it all start?
Well, my story, I think, is real similar to a lot of folks. I one day kind of found myself in a situation where, I didn't think I was really that out of shape. And then I realized by catching a picture of myself one day, exactly how overweight I really was. Also with that, I was on a routine physical with my physician, my doctor. And he looked at me and he said, Jamie, there is a direct correlation between belly fat and heart disease. And that really caught my attention because I had always been a competitive power lifter.
Sure.
And I thought I was, for the most part, in shape. Well, taking a closer look at things, I was talking with some friends and I said, you know what, I think about leaning out a little bit, losing some weight, and I was thinking about, getting my six-pack abs back. Yep. And I was met with roars of laughter. and I was really thinking, I said, wow, am I that far off? Is it that far gone? And so I started reading a little more and a little more about the time my daughter was born, and I realized that I really was out of shape. And when my physicals results came back, work was bad too. So I started reading a little some, and I had a friend turn me on to what was called the paleo diet back then. He said, it sounds like you want to do more than lose weight. He sounds like you really want to get healthy.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, well, aren't they the same thing? And I'm like, and he was like, no. He said, you'd be looking for, cleaner foods, cleaner food choices and stuff we always ate from an evolutionary standpoint. So to make a little more of a long story short, I started researching it and thought I'd try it. Well, when I went paleo, I noticed a lot of health improvements. I'd been suffering from asthma. I had been suffering from, my blood work was bad. I had some arthritis in my hands. And when I started down this paleo style of eating, which is basically any food you could hunt or gather, I started feeling better. And, I was in and out of it, like I think most people.
Yep.
And then I started to notice that my gut wasn't as distended, and my breathing was better. I had had asthma ever since I was a little kid. So one day, while I was doing a little treadmill work, and I had been really strict paleo for a little while, I realized that I couldn't have an asthma attack anymore. Wow. So I sped the treadmill up as fast as I could stay on it for as long as I could stay on it, and realized that I couldn't have an asthma attack. Fast forward a little more back to my competitive powerlifting, you know, and doing a little more research. That's when I stumbled across the Stephen Finney and Volek's book, Low Carbohydrate Performance.
Yep.
And that's when I thought I would try incorporating a ketogenic diet with a paleolithic grocery list.
Okay.
To enhance my performance even more. I couldn't forget what I learned about what anti-nutrients were in grains and what immunodamaging properties were in dairy. So I decided just to merge the two, which I felt was more constrictive from the sense that I couldn't eat foods I was familiar with eating.
Sure.
But from a performance standpoint, it made more sense. I had, you know, no grains with any anti-nutrients or anything, no tubers, you know, with saponins in it causing any type of leaky gut,
yeah.
And no dairy with any type of, you know, immune or allergy type effects causing, you know, inhibitions in my breathing. But I could still alter it enough to put myself in a ketogenic diet.
Sure.
Basically, eating really simply, and as I do now, I would eat a lot of clean meats, which means no breading on them and no sauces.
Yep.
And green vegetables.
Okay.
Yep. And
they would be seasonal vegetables as well. Because
I would shoot for seasonal as much as possible.
Okay.
Not that it would be a deal breaker otherwise, but you know, you would strive for perfection and, you know, end up somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So with that in line, I got even leaner. I was invited to compete at what and powerlifting was kind of like our Super Bowl or World Cup for you guys.
Okay.
And it was called the WPCs, and that was in Las Vegas, Nevada that year. So I incorporated a 12-week ketogenic paleo diet in preparation for that. And being that, you know, I'm older, I wasn't new to the sport. So I guess my point being is that from my training aspect, nothing changed there, and I had been competitive powerlifting for 20 years. And those of you who are familiar with strength training know that you get to a point where you're really fighting for progress.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That year I incorporated that 12-week keto paleo style diet, and I got stronger, I got leaner, and I PR'd, which means personal record. I hit personal records on a world stage that year. So I PR'd on my bench press. And I PR'd on my squat, which, like I said, on a world stage, you usually allow for a little bit of a deficit there, or, you know, a 10% plus travel, you know, usually don't aim to do as well. And then I am doing better than I ever have in my whole life.
And then you assume that because of the amount of years that you've been doing it, you, like you said, you're going to plateau. And then where can I improve? And obviously you did. And did you also find that with keto paleo, that that recovery is a lot quicker in terms of, for instance, I've not long started running again after 10 years of doing the odd 10K. So I'm training to do a half marathon in a few months. And what I used to, when I used to go training and gradually build myself up, the days afterwards, I'd be in agony because of muscle, you know, stiffness and things like that. With going on a ketogenic diet and cutting out anything inflammatory, with me being a 51-year-old Welshman, I'm not getting the creaks and the aches and pains of what I would normally do. I get that even when I'm doing sort of moderate lifting in the gym as well. Is that what you guys are finding as well?
Oh, very much so, very much so. And some of the research shows that it's not actually that we're recovering faster, it's that we're causing less damage when we train due to that metabolic pathway.
Yeah.
And that I think, was really the advantage for my training to get stronger when I incorporated that diet. Now, being a competitive power lifter, I'm glad you brought the running up, is friend of mine had talked us into doing a 5K run.
Yep.
And I was never a runner, but I figured, let's do it. So I competed in this 5K on a Sunday, and then our normal training schedule was heavy deadlifts on Tuesday. So like you brought up, having not been a real runner, I expected to be in rough shape on that Tuesday. Well, I ran the 5K and did great. I was under 30 minutes, and I thought for a guy over 200 pounds, that was good.
That's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, and I we had our heavy deadlift day, and I PR'd in the gym on the heavy deadlift day that Tuesday because I had no soreness at all walking in that day. It was fabulous.
Yeah, so people, I've stressed in the previous episodes of Keith's Happiness that I don't treat going to the gym as a punishment anymore. It's more of, I'm not going to get aches and pains, plus the benefits of sticking the headphones on and listening to podcasts or music, whatever, and it comes over that way. And also stress that I didn't fall straight head over heels into the way of eating and exercise. The exercise came as a process of getting rid of the energy that I got back from eating the right stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I think people, I'm 46 years old, so I think people in our age bracket, demographic, whatever you want to say, I think really benefited, especially if you ate a standard diet up until this point. You may not realize how bad you really feel.
Exactly.
And how much food plays a role in that, fueling your body. If I ate really poorly up until my mid-30s.
Yeah.
So we call it standard American diet, you know, a lot of junk. And, you know, I didn't realize how bad I felt. Now looking back, I realized how often I wanted to take naps and, like you said, the aches and the pains.
Yeah, even putting your socks on in the morning, that was mine.
Yeah, well, my belly, it was so distended at one point that I would have to hold my breath to tie my shoes.
Oh, I can believe that. I've been there, got the t-shirt, and now, although the t-shirt's smaller now, but I've still got it, sort of thing. Yeah, and totally right. And I had Charles Hiller on, and also a gentleman that was promoting the over 40s sort of plus type of thing. And again, the way of eating and training, keep fit, whatever you want to call it, has to be modified for your age, really, because of the battering that we've all done, especially in my 20s, because I don't remember my 20s, because I work for a brewery, that's why. But you're right, it's everybody's got their own individual plan, and I always point out, you know, it works for me, may not work for you, but by introducing other alternatives, like yourself, like the other guests they have, it gives people a choice. And certain part of, say, if it's keto paleo with certain people, that may work, may not work for me, but I'm going to give it a go anyway. But if they've got this wealth of information, rather than looking at textbooks and things like that, and there are some fabulous books out there, but if we can interpret into, you know, the everyday Joe's sort of language, then that's the whole point of the podcast. And again, thanks ever so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much. So yeah, you brought that up. You know, what might not work for me may work for you, and what might work for you might not work for me. That you know, when people hear that, I don't want them to think that, you know, that's not just from a biological standpoint. There's a psychological battle with weight loss as well, and at a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
So when I started, I was really, like I said, I started back in, you know, my mid to late 30s. I leaned into the diet. I started really slow, and it wasn't 7 days a week with just regular paleo. it took me some time to learn my way. And as I saw more improvements, I kept trying to strive to do better. You know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they start looking at the plan and they learn about, you know, calorie calculators, and they learn about measuring and weighing macros, and they worry about blood testing and breath testing and yep. stuff like that. And they all have their place.
Yes.
That doesn't have to be for everybody. I know a lot of people that would just really benefit from trying to eat cleaner or healthier or better food. And like you said before, if someone jumps into it from a really bad standard diet and then tries to go right to that extreme of measuring, weighing, and cooking and prepping, that may just be setting them up for failure.
It is. I think it's a bit like the a lot of the health clubs, things that you can join online or go to a community thing. It's great if it's involving a group and people supporting you. But if you take it to extreme, to measure everything out, testing everything and getting weighed every week, you're going to come across certain points where, oh, I've put on a couple of pound. And that could be, that's just a genetic thing, or it's just happens. And you're right, that could pop a lot of people off if they go full force into it.
Agreed. Depending on your personality type, that could really be the end of the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I agree with that. And I have a lot of friends who are, you know, successful doing it. And I have a lot of friends that you have to go that extra step.
Sure.
Maybe they're so metabolically damaged that they need to do two or three different things to get started and get dialed in.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I hear, well, that's not fair. And I'm like, well, you know, yeah, you're right. It's not, but this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And is that something that you explain in your book, the Easy Keto 1-2-3?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, the very first chapter in the book ends with a real simple, like what I said before. If you don't want to weigh macros and you don't want to do calculators and you don't want to do math, you can very simply do this diet, like I said, eating clean meats, you know, no breading, no sauces yeah. on it, and a green vegetable, and your odds are you'll be very successful.
I agree totally. Last night, for instance, we had leafy greens cooked in butter with garlic on them. And mm-hmm. A local supermarket has started doing Chateaubriand, which is it's sort of a double fillet, really. And then we put butter on it because just to enhance the flavor, some seasoning, and that's mm-hmm. all. That's all we needed.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. And you know, you can keep it as simple as possible. You know, over here, you know, lunch convenience a lot of times for people who are on the go.
Yep.
And a lot of times I'll tell people, I said, if you're stuck, you can just order the sandwich, the, you know, hamburger without the bun.
Oh, yeah.
And you
yeah.
get lettuce, tomato, onion, and a you know, a little patty of meat. I said, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. And because once you do get adapted, that is all you'll need, because you
yeah.
won't feel, sometimes you don't, I sometimes you forget to eat sometimes because... we were discussing with one of my guests that not necessarily you need to have breakfast if you're at satiety from the meal that you had the previous evening. You technically go in, you don't know it, but you are intermittently fasting because you're not really hungry. You just fancy
right.
a coffee or a glass of water, and you know, to keep you going. And but you're right, and eating out, it's so adaptable, and we've found it because. Over here, there's certain chain restaurants and things like that. There's some good ones, some of the hamburger ones are not that good, but there's some sandwich bars that you just go in and you just ask for a salad bowl instead of the bread that comes with it. So another question I was going to ask you, Jamie, is, which everybody asks me, I always try and get this answer from my guest, is how do you get over explaining to people that I'm losing weight because I'm eating fat, and they get they try and get their head around, well, does that mean, you know, bad fats, things like that? Once you explain it, yeah, but sometimes I do tend to get over a little bit enthusiastic and evangelical about it. How would you explain it, just in simple terms, about the stigma of eating fat to get thin, if you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I try to explain to them very simply, and I have a biology background from the University of Michigan. That's what my degree is in.
Yeah.
So I can get as technical as I need to, or to keep it as simple as possible. Usually the first thing you get back is, fat is bad for you. And I explain to them, I say, well, you know, that was an old theory that was put out there, and a lot of people invested in it, and they couldn't retract. So it's kind of stuck with us. So that theory is really wrong. The biology is wrong about that.
Yep.
And then the idea that your body can turn fat into fat easily is wrong, too. Yes, there's 9 calories per gram versus 4 calories per gram for carbohydrate and protein, but the process that it takes to get fat to turn into fat is much more difficult for our bodies to do than it is for sugars and carbohydrates to do. And I just try to walk them through that very simply, that, you know, the fat idea was wrong. You know, we as a species ate animals, you know, animals and plants and animals.
Yep.
And a lot of those, you know, saturated animal fats are really good for us. You know, every cell in our body is made up of a lipid bilayer.
Sure.
You know, we need fat.
Yeah.
You know, and I just try to explain that, you know, that was wrong. This is right. You know, and if they're a little more interested, I'll go into insulin response and how that's kind of a gatekeeper.
Sure.
Just try to explain to them a little bit of science as to why. And then, you know, I go into that obviously in my book.
Yeah.
Explaining why. I guess that's it. I just try to explain to them as simple terms as possible that, you know, there was some bad information out there at one time, and this seems to work really well for a lot of people. And from a biological standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. I guess that's...
Yeah, and it is difficult for, you know, even people in the medical world to say they're wrong, because they've been following the road more traveled. And it is a difficult thing, one for the ego, one for reputation, to say there's new science come out that sort of disproves stuff that was written 50, 60 years ago. I think Professor Tim Noakes was the one that came out in the headlines, but there are other people. And again, you know, when we have to do disclaimers about, you know, it may not be for you, check your doctor's advice, things like that. If you do check your physician or doctor, 9 times out of 10, especially over here, they're going to have to fall in line with the standard British and Irish diet, which I think it derives from your American diet anyway. So it is a difficult, but touch wood, there are doctors out there that are switched on to this type of thing. Even my GP, I haven't been for tests or anything, but I saw him in the pub a few weeks ago, and he politely smiled and said, well done. And you know, he didn't even ask me what I'd been doing. He just knew that I'd looked a little bit better than the last time I saw him.
Right, that's great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you're right. Over here, they don't really train our medical professionals on nutrition. And the nutritionists that they do train are programmed by our big manufacturing companies, are, you know, our big agro.
Yeah.
And that's where that all kind of steps down. And the disconnect always comes, and this is, I like, this was in Rob Wolf's book, where he says that, you know, that where the dietitians and the biologists tend to clash, because, you know, the biologists follow the science and the dietitians are, you know, following what they were taught.
Sure.
And then the biology doesn't match up.
Yeah, and are you attending that it's more of a reactive response when people are given medicine, which they could have easily been not been taken if they followed just clean eating, basically?
Yeah, and, you know, I have a few friends that are doctors over here, and to that same point, there is a large portion of our population that would rather just take the pill.
Yeah. Yeah.
They run into that a lot and said, you know, hey, you know, my friend is a doctor and she does a great job trying to explain to people, listen, you could just make some changes, some lifestyle changes, and you would not have to go on medication.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, can't, I would rather just take the pill.
And, you know, there's not necessarily the, well, there's a film called The Magic Pill, which is a very interesting watch if you can, if you've got Netflix over here in the UK and Ireland, that just sort of, it demystifies a lot of what's been going on with the diet and the reason why that we're eating like we are, and the awful effects people have, because you go through the high street and you think, my goodness, I'm like that, or I was like that, or whatever. And it's really hard to say, look, that we can possibly help, but again, it's very hard to approach somebody that you don't know and say, you know, rather than go to your doctor, you know, read a few books, watch a few films, and give it a go, you know. And you know, you still may have to keep on taking your pills or whatever, but you may find, you never know, that you'll start weaning off those.
Right, exactly. You brought up documentaries, and I think one of my favorite documentary is the one that Tom Naughton did, the Fathead. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Yeah, I think I subscribe to dietdoctor.com, and there's a right. range of films that you can grab from there. I think I watched The Big Fat Fix and things like that, so which are quite popular over here. But what was it called again, Jamie?
It was Tom Naughton's Fathead.
Fathead, okay.
And it comes on DVD, and the reason I bring it up on DVD versus streaming is that there's the movie, but on the DVD, Tom's DVD extras are about another 30 minutes of really good material that sometimes you don't get to see when you stream it on Netflix or other sources.
Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, I've even told Tom that I liked the extras better than the movie.
because sometimes they are, yeah.
A lot of times it was interviews just with the doctors and not clips of interviews with the doctors.
Yeah.
And they got to really get their point across. Yeah. He interviews Dr. Mike Eads and Mary Dan Eads, and I hold them in the highest regard. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of good information on that documentary. Tom did a great job, and I can't recommend that one enough.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, because, again, I do tend to... I am that man that falls straight in once I get... my teeth into, you know, a new way of living, anything like that, or a book or a philosophy, I'm 100% with it. Not many people are, but the resources that you can read and whatever, and demystify the whole keto, paleo, just don't eat any carb type of thing. I do recommend just give it a try. If most people have got Netflix or whatever, or Amazon over here, for the sake of just an hour or so, just because there's lots of documentaries over here on our normal TV, BBC and ITV, and fair play, there's a lot of the authors are now starting to rear their heads in the public domain. People like Dr. Rangan Chatterjee and Asim Malhotra, people like that, who we know over here. And then we're getting to know the likes of yourself, your Jimmy Moores, your... William Davis's and Tim Noakes, even in South Africa, they're sort of being mentioned in the news, some negatively, some positively. But once you get through the spectacularism of the press, then you can really, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk.
Right. So yeah, we brought up you know, books and documentaries, and that was kind of the reason for me creating KetoDaddy.com.
Yep.
Is just a one-stop shop for people who are trying to get books, primed to find out about DVDs, people who are interested in testing equipment or different foods. And all that page really is for me is a link to Amazon things. But it's kind of funneled in a keto, paleo idea. So if someone's like, I'm really interested in keto paleo DVDs, they could go there and I have them all grouped.
Oh, brilliant. So some of our listeners can go to ketodaddy.com and pick. And I think if you click on the link, it'll automatically ask you whether you want to go on the US Amazon or the UK. So we may be able to source some resources, supplements, food, anything, DVDs that people over here in the UK and Ireland can tag onto. So that's ketodaddy, one word, .com.
Yeah, that would be great. And like I said, that was just, I do so much public speaking, and I would often see people writing furiously about books and DVDs that I recommend, that I said, don't worry, I have them all listed at ketodaddy.com under books or cookbooks or, you know, beaters and testers. So you can just sit and pay attention. I've already done that part.
Brilliant.
For you.
Yeah. And you mentioned you do a lot of public speaking, Jamie. Well, tell me about that.
So I'll do a lot local, but I get invited to go, you know, all over the world. I got to, you know, I spoke on Jimmy Moore's low carb cruise a couple of times.
Okay.
I've spoke low carb Denver, and Vail and Breckenridge, the last couple of years. And I've even been over to Mallorca with Low Carb Universe. Hannah and Bit invited me over, and that was wonderful. That was my first time to Europe.
Right.
And they do a great job for your guys' side over there.
Brilliant.
It's a great event. Yeah.
We must chat about this, because I'm getting messages on our Keto Happiness UK Facebook page about, Rob, when you're setting up your little keto festival for the UK and Ireland. So there's lots of thoughts going, and I've been in touch with the keto dudes, and they're going to give me some advice. So I may be knocking at your door, Jamie.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd come over again for sure. But currently you guys have Low Carb Universe over there. Hannah and Bit put that on, and I'll send you a link so you can
that's
link.
Brilliant, and we can put it on the show page for this this episode. That would be absolutely brilliant. There's a lot of I noticed there's a few things happening down in London. London's it's far for us. It's not so far for you guys because of the distance that you guys travel, but I'm based in the north of England, in Wales, in Wales, but it's the north of the UK. Very close to Ireland as well, so I've got some Irish keto buddies over there, and it would be great to just there's going to be talks, but more food demonstrations, how easy it is, and possibly a little bit of music, because I'm in a band as well. So,
good, that would be great. Yeah,
yeah.
There's a good blogger over there. Emily McGuire, are you familiar with her?
I'm not, no, but I'm going to get in touch with her because it would be great for more guests as well for the Keto Happiness podcast.
Yeah, she spoke at Low Carb Universe as well, and I think she's up in Ireland.
Oh, fantastic. So we must get in touch. Again, I'm sure you'll send me all the links as well. I can get a lot of links from Keto Daddy as well, Jamie. So, and also you've got, as well as ketodaddy.com for the resources and things like that, the keto-paleo.com, which I notice advertises your events, but also, am I right, you do one-to-ones and you do meal plans for people?
Yeah, so I have keto-paleo.com, and that was more of a blog when I started finding my passion for keto and paleo and my training. I would put blog posts on there. I don't write as much as I used to. But I am working on another blog post right now. And I've just tried to help share my stories and stories with my clients. I owned a gym for 4 years, a CrossFit style gym.
Okay.
And I got to really, with my members, really learn a lot about different body types and different things to help people lose weight. And, you know, that's where I really, really learned that, you know, it's not always diet. There are a lot of ailments out there that really inhibit weight loss. A lot of factors, stress.
That's a big
or,
one.
Yeah, or some type of parasite overgrowth or candida, stuff like that can really inhibit a lot of success. Unfortunately, it seems like women fall victim to this a lot, where men seem to be very successful. So I always say that my girls are my tricky ones. Sure. That I always have to maybe go the extra mile and help them.
Yeah, because again, my gorgeous wife, Sian, she's been doing it with me, not having as much as dramatic successes, but in terms of health, it's absolutely been fantastic. But to have some sort of advice, one from fellow women, and you know, because people have been there and done that, and even if it's just a small change in their lifestyle, not necessarily diet, it can really make the difference. And I've found that the keto community are so helpful on Facebook, on the blogs, on forums, things like that. And it's not a closed shop. We're not, as Carrie Brown said the other day, she's been known as a cult leader now, but it's not like that. It's just like-minded people just sharing the love, as I say, or sharing all the wealth of knowledge.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of good resources out there for sure. I lost my train of thought there a little bit.
I was going to mention on your Facebook page, if you just search your name, Jamie Caparoso, you've got the Keto Check app.
Yeah, so that started as a real basic app. When I was on Jimmy Moore's Low Carb Cruise, there was a lot of people learning what macros were and how to read nutrition labels. So on the Keto Check app, I designed that so people could type in, let's say you rolled over a package of food and you saw our nutrition label on there that shows how much fat, how much carbohydrate, and how much protein. You could type those numbers in grams, and it would show you if it fell into a ketogenic ratio.
Sure.
And that, in a sense, evolved a little bit. You can build a plate of food on there now, so you could add 6 ounces of chicken, 1 cup of broccoli, and say, you know, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and it'll tell you if that meal falls into a ketogenic ratio. It also has what's called a BMR, or a basal metabolic rate calculator. Okay. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that is a calculator to see how many calories a day and grams of protein, carbohydrate, and fat that you need to consume to maintain and then lose a little bit of weight.
Sure.
There's actually, with the Apple version right now, there's a bug in it because on their last update, they didn't carry over some things, so I'm fixing that.
Sure.
It's on Apple. It's on Apple and Android.
Brilliant.
And it's a useful beginner tool. I wouldn't say it's great. I think it's a little clunky in some spots, but I did my best.
Yeah, fair play. I know we've done that, but the other side of the business that we do, we do apps, and to get it right with Apple, it does take, and you're right, the recent launch of the iOS is just upset a couple of the ones that we've done. So we've just this week reprogrammed most of them that we do anyway. So
yeah, so I have my guy that's helping me with that. And he found what he needed to fix. Now we're just waiting for the upload.
Brilliant. Another thing that I always ask my guests now, although we're only into show 5, but it's been a regular question, is this one's twofold. What is your favorite go-to keto meal? And the other is, if you're having a dinner party or a group of friends party, what would you cook for them?
Okay, so my favorite go-to, let's go breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, okay.
Breakfast is, I almost religiously have 3 eggs over easy with 2 to 3 pieces of bacon and a glass of water. Mm-hmm. Sometimes coffee, although I find that it disrupts my sleep, even 1 cup in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something there for me.
Yeah.
Lunch. I do outside sales for a living, so I'm on the road a lot.
Okay.
I quite often, if I'm entertaining customers for lunch, will get a small sirloin steak and a side of broccoli with some butter.
Yep.
Butter and salt. And then quite often for dinner, we grill a lot. I'll have maybe chicken with some olive oil, and again, maybe asparagus baked with olive oil and salt on it.
Yep.
And that's pretty regular. If I'm doing a party, so we have a pool out back, and in the summer months, I barbecue a lot. So quite often, I will make... All right, so if I am entertaining or hosting a barbecue or something like that, we have a pool out back at my house, so I tend to host a lot of pool barbecues.
Sure.
You know, I'll make hamburgers and hot dogs, you know, traditional barbecue stuff.
Yep.
You know, and buns will be optional. And there'll be, you know, all the regular toppings for that. Or I'll make sausages or like bratwursts.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Or if it's a smaller group, I may even grill some steaks, and that usually covers the meat portion of things.
Brilliant.
And then for sides, quite often I'll make, say, deviled eggs, and then there'll be like a cold tray out, maybe with cold cuts on it, and vegetables, big green salads, you know, with low-carb dressings.
Yep.
And then maybe some regular dressings for people who are not on that, because a lot of times you have mixed company there.
Sure, yeah, we're the same. We sort of cater our boys. One's 12, one's 17. 12-year-old just doesn't want to know. He thinks keto is an animal, so we think it's cruel to eat keto. So, our 17-year-old is sort of adapting. He's, you know, going through that 17-year-old growing stages and things like that, and he's really quite switched on. But he is too tempted by carbs and things like that when we go out, but he fair play, the carbs that he does eat, they're hopefully as natural and as clean as possible.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're teenagers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, he sort of does ask, you know, is that right for me on the menu? Which for a teenager, I'm quite proud of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to circle back around to, you know, you're going to have different varying people trying this keto diet. And like I said, we said a lot of people can be very successful with just making the attempt, maybe eating clean meats and vegetables, green vegetables. All right. So people that are having a hard time maybe dialing it in, or getting discouraged with their ketogenic diet, you know, there are some good testers out there. You had brought up that you have a breath meter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm becoming a bigger fan of the Ketonics breath meter and maybe keeping a glucose meter.
Sure.
On hand and using those two in conjunction. And I don't know what breath meter you have. I like the Ketonics because of the data that it records, but I'm a little bit of a nerd.
Sure. the one I've got is just shows a number and that's it. I can't even remember. I bought it. It's not one of these. It's not a cheaper one that we can see that just detects certain amounts of acetone and 1 minute it can be up, down, or whatever. I've got I bought one which is a bit more expensive and it comes with disposable mouthpieces and things like that. But you're right. I've read a lot about the Ketonics breath meter. Is probably the one that people should consider if they're thinking of measuring things.
Yeah, I like the data. You know, I know the owner's Michelle Lundell. He might even be willing to come on and talk on your show.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, he's over in Sweden. He was an epileptic who designed it to help maintain his epilepsy.
Wow.
For those of you who are not familiar with a ketogenic diet, was actually really first clinically used in the medical world to help people with maintain their epilepsy, and it wasn't until Big Pharma, you know, pharmacology companies came along that that kind of got forgotten about.
Sure.
But in the 1920s over here, they were using ketogenic diets to help, very successfully too, help people manage their epilepsy and their seizures.
Yeah. And I think to an extent they've started to bring that back in certain...
I think so too, because I don't think the drugs were working.
No. Yeah, that's a big message to all you kids out there. The drugs don't work sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Not saying that they don't have their place, but man, sometimes there is a... Yeah, and I don't want to say that I'm big anti-drug. There's a lot of medicine out there that does a lot of people a lot of good.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But
if we can stop it before it starts.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Don't wait till there's a problem if you can.
Exactly, yeah. So, and what lies for the future in 2019 for you, Jamie?
Well, I'm probably going to try and speak a little more. Getting the book out there and helping people as much as I can. I'm looking more into helping with the ketonics on this side of the pond here in North America.
Sure.
So hopefully help a lot of people and help them dial in their ketogenic diets. I'd like to get more involved with more athletes.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that mix. And maybe get it in the medical community a little more and help educate some of the medical professionals.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And yeah. Just to remind us of how we get in contact with you, Jamie, in terms of social media, website, if you want to do it yourself rather than me droning.
Yeah, so, you can find me on Facebook very simply as, Jamie Caparoso. On Instagram, I'm Jamie Caparoso, and real creative, right? And and on in Twitter as well, it's just, if those who want the spelling of my name, it's JamieCaparoso. And then on Facebook, I do have a page for KetoDaddy.com that I try to be really active on, and it's just KetoDaddy.com on Facebook as well.
Oh, that's
and brilliant. Then the two web pages, ketodaddy.com and keto-paleo.com. I got some good blog posts on there too, at least I feel.
Amazing. Have you got any other podcasts coming up?
No, not in the near future. Right now, I'll be going to Denver at the March 7th and 8th for Low Carb Denver. That should be a great show. I'm looking forward to hearing what all the latest and greatest scientists have to say. And then I'll have my book there as well. I'll be signing copies for people.
And brilliant. And hopefully in the near future, we'll get to meet personally. And,
that'd be great.
You never know. There may be some sort of keto festival over here in North Wales or in Cheshire or Ireland that, in the next 6 to 12 months that may be happening. So watch this space.
Okay.
Right, brilliant. And again, thank you ever so much, JB Caparoso, for coming on the Key to Happiness show. All the show notes will be put on the podcast page. And don't forget to follow us now on Twitter. It's just Key to Happiness UK. And also Facebook, Key to Happiness UK. And search Key to Happiness on Instagram. I've done a lot this week, Jamie, so I've got to plug as much as I can. And watch this space for the website coming very, very soon. And again, we'll see you all next time. Bye for now.